I'm glad to see each one of you here today. Welcome to those watching via the live stream. Matthew 19, 26 tells us that with man things may be impossible, but with God all things are possible. There is nothing that God cannot do. There is nothing outside of his power, outside of his wisdom and strength. As we worship God this morning, put that into your heart, that there is nothing that God cannot do. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love that you shower upon us. You gave us Jesus, and you gave us your Holy Spirit to live in us. We may face things that we do not understand, and the situations are impossible. We just come before you trusting that you are in control and that nothing is beyond your power and your wisdom. Fill us and this place with your presence this morning. I just pray that anything from the enemy that is present will be removed this morning. Receive our worship of you. That's why we're here, Lord, to worship you, the one true living God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, just think about that glory of God and like all the things that we do in life and the ways God works on earth is all like really powerful, but just, I mean, if you look in Revelation, the image and just thinking about the glory of God, we don't have the whole picture because we're not with God, and so it's like we can imagine from what's written and think about him, but just a little bit brings us to worship, and then there's all the things about God that we don't comprehend. And so I just, invite you to think about his glory and pray that that would bring you into worship and just wanting to be in his presence. So I invite you to stand and worship with us this morning, and we're going to take offering during this first song, and children can come forward for My Coins Count.
Before the world was made, before you spoke it to be, you were the King of Kings. Yeah, you were, yeah, you were. And now you're reigning still, enthroned above all things. Angels and saints cry out, we join them as we sing, glory to God.
Let us pray. Lord, your name is great, and we invite you to make your presence known and your glory great here in and through us today and throughout the week ahead. And we just thank you for the way that your good name has called forth leadership for this congregation and for the church at large. And we ask your blessing to be upon our pastors, upon Tony and Brian and Larry, and those whom you are calling, whether to serve here or elsewhere. Lord, that you would continue to speak and that we would hear and respond to your call. We just pray for the blessing of clarity, of truth for our leaders, and make us to be receptive and good followers and to discern what you're speaking. We thank you for your provision. We ask your blessing upon Tony as he shares this morning. Grant him clarity of thought and speech. Free us from distractions and from half-truths and things that would keep us from digesting and applying your word in our lives. In Jesus' name, we ask that you multiply and use these gifts to meet their physical needs. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our God, sing with me, how great. reaches to the sky. Holy is the Lord God Almighty.
Yes, Lord, just thank you for, in Sunday school, you're just talking about faith, and it just kind of hit me, all the things that are your promises and blessings that you give to us so we can have faith in you, and just that we believe in you, God, and Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and how you guys work together perfectly and are the Trinity, and just pray that we could see you working, and that it would release us to be part of the things you want to do, the lost being found and the dead being raised, just that the church would make a motion and be your image to the world that that there is something that can stand up against the gates of hell, and that we can just be a part of that and be with you because you've torn the veil that that we can enter your presence and have a personal relationship with you. I just pray for the blessing, or thank you for the blessing, and pray for the hope of when you come back again to take us to be with you, that can be our ultimate comfort. Just thank you for the words you've given Tony to share, and pray that you would open our hearts to hear and receive that. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Well, it's time for our children's message, so I'd like to invite the children to come forward. Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning? Did you guys do anything fun this week? What? Things. You played with your friend. So you did things and you played with your friend. You probably did a lot of other fun things. You just can't think of any right now. Well, this morning we're going to be talking about a term that we use here at church. It's the term, the Trinity. Does anybody know what that is? Yes, God, Spirit, and Jesus. All three in one. But what does that really mean? What does that really mean? We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, right? They're all three different, but yet they're all God, they're all the same. That's kind of confusing, isn't it? It challenges me to think about that and to understand, and it can be difficult. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, "The Lord our God, the Lord is one." 2 Corinthians 13:13 says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit." God is one, but yet we're talking about three different parts. It's kind of confusing. They're all separate, yet they're all one. It kind of makes my head hurt trying to think about it. So I brought a little demonstration of what that is, maybe give you a little clarity, just to help you understand a little better. It's not perfect, because there is no perfect analogy, but maybe it'll help. What is this?
An egg.
Yes, an egg. An egg has three parts, right? Well, I'm actually thinking about it more. Egg has more than that, but I was just thinking generally. Has the shell, has the white part, and has the yolk. I didn't count the air sac in there. That was an oversight, but that's okay. We'll just pretend there's three for this morning. So you have the shell, the yolk and the white part. It's all one item, but there's different parts inside of it. And just like God has three different parts, right? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But it's not like this because they're separated in here in different pieces. It's more like you take it and you crack it open and then you mash it all together because they're separate, but they're all together. Are they separate? Well, they are. They're just kind of swirled around together. There's different pieces. It might not look like it, but there's different pieces there. They're separate, but they're together at the same time. Is that how you make an omelet, Tyler? Yeah? Good? You smash the shell right in there. Good to go. People come back for more. They love the crunchy part in there. So we can try to understand this. We can look in the Bible. We can ask older people to help us understand what the Trinity is. So just remember that God might have different parts, but he's all one at the same time. So I'd like to pray for you guys, then you can have a snack and head back to your seats. So shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I just pray a blessing on these children. I pray that they will come to know you as their Lord and Savior. Give them understanding. Give them wisdom to what your word says. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning again. I'd like to take a moment to pray for David and Alice Culp as David is in the hospital, and for Clarence and Mary Jane as Clarence is in the hospital as well. So will you join me in prayer for them? Dear Lord, we lift up David and Alice and their family to you. I pray that you would bring healing to his body, give him comfort, and I pray that your peace and your presence would be felt with them. Be with their entire family. I just pray for Clarence and Mary Jane as Clarence is having a procedure on Monday. I pray that your hand of protection would be over him, that you'd give him peace and a swift recovery, and be with his entire family. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning we're going to be talking about the Trinity, and so we're going to enter into just another moment of prayer and ask God to give us wisdom and understanding as we go about this lesson. So will you join me in prayer once more? Heavenly Father, we ask you to give us wisdom and understanding so that we can share with others who you are. We're asking, we're seeking, and we're knocking as your word tells us to. Please reveal to us with a deeper understanding of the Trinity, of what that means and all that's involved there. In Jesus' name, amen. So why is it essential for us to understand what the Trinity is? It's so we can explain it to other people, so that they can understand it. If we don't understand it, how are we supposed to share it to someone else so that they understand it? You have other religious groups that don't hold God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit on the same level. We can share with them. Or you have groups that say God cannot simultaneously be God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. We can share with them what Scripture says. We can share with people who are new in their faith so that they can gain wisdom and understanding. And we can share with those who do not believe at all what God's word says. So We can also share with those people who challenge us in our beliefs, and we must be ready to give an account. 1 Peter 3:15 to 17. But in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, ready at any time to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope that is in you. Yet do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that when you are accused, those who disparage your good conduct in Christ will be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. If we share and we defend what we believe, we need to know what we believe and how to share it. Let me rephrase that. Not if we share, when we share what we believe, because God commands us to go and make disciples of all nations. So we need to dig into God's word continually, to understand what he has placed in here for us. And understanding this doctrine, it can be difficult for our human brains to understand, but we need to defend our faith. The word Trinity is not in the Bible. It's not in there. If you go to your concordance in the back of your Bible, you're not going to find a single verse that points to the Trinity. What you will find is a group of verses that put the puzzle pieces together that form the doctrine of the Trinity. They point to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all as one. All these puzzle pieces, they fit together like we'd put a puzzle together, revealing the Trinity. The Trinity is three parts working in unity. And we're going to look at what the Trinity is and what it is not. So starting in Deuteronomy 6:4, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Isaiah 44:6, this is what the Lord, the King of Israel, and its Redeemer, the Lord of armies, says, I am the first and I am the last. There is no God but me. These verses tell us that God is the one and only God. There is no other God besides him. And this is a good starting place. And it also is the place where my brain starts to go in circles as I think about this more and more and more. It said that God is the only God. And 1 Corinthians 8:6 says, yet for us there is one God, the Father. All things are from him, and we exist for him. And there is one Lord, Jesus Christ. All things are through him, and we exist through him. So from that verse, we know that God is the only God. We also know that the Father is God, the first part of the Trinity. And we also know from the account of Moses at the burning bush, Moses asked God, who should I say has sent me to your people? God replied, I am who I am. Means that God is God. And so we're gaining traction here, so we got to keep pushing into this deeper. Jesus claims to be God when he is in the garden about to be arrested in John 18, 4-8. John 18:4-8. Then Jesus, knowing everything that was about to happen to him, went out and said to them, "Who is it that you were seeking?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they answered. "I am he," Jesus told them. Judas, who betrayed him, was also standing with them. When Jesus told them, "I am he," they stepped back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, "Who is it that you are seeking?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they said. "I told you, I am he," Jesus replied. "So if you're looking for me, let these men go." Jesus states that he is God. And at that time, they fell to the ground because this power went out of Jesus. And there's also numerous other occasions where Jesus uses an "I am" statement, claiming to be God. When Jesus was tempted in the desert by Satan, he said in Luke 4:8, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Jesus is referencing 1 Samuel. It says that we're only supposed to worship God. And what's that tell us about Jesus? That he is God. When Abraham was sitting at the entrance to his tent in Genesis 18, three men appeared to him. Abraham got up and ran over to them, bowed down in worship. One of them received his worship. This was Jesus before he was born to Mary. We use the term pre-incarnate, before Jesus became a baby. Any other time a person worshiped and bowed down to an angel, they stopped them immediately, because worship is only to be given to God, and they claim that they are also workers of God. But in that passage, Jesus received worship because Jesus is God, and he is to be worshiped. Jesus said in John 10, verse 30, that "I and the Father are one." He said this to the Jews, and right after he said that, they wanted to stone him and put them to death because he was blaspheming. He was claiming to be God, but there is only one God. Jesus eluded their grasp and got away. The Jews missed the part, what Jesus was doing, the work that he was doing and what he was saying. He was telling them right to their face that "I am God. I am the Redeemer. I'm the Messiah." When we talk about the Trinity, maybe this diagram can help you. We see that each part is God and simultaneously separate from the other part. I'll show you that again, so don't worry. Now we're going to add the third part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Acts 5, you have the account of Ananias and his wife Sapphira. They withheld money. They went and sold a field, and they told Peter that this is the entire amount of money that we got for the field. So we're going to look at Acts 5, 3 to 4. Ananias, Peter asked, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the proceeds of the land? Wasn't it yours while you possessed it? And after you sold it, wasn't it at your disposal? Why is it that you planned this thing in your heart? You have not lied to people, but to God." These verses are saying that the Holy Spirit is God. It's not this separate thing God gives, but it is God. Listen to Hebrews 3, 7 to 11. "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if You hear his voice. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked to anger with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my anger, they will not enter my rest. The Holy Spirit refers to the time in Deuteronomy 13 when the nation of Israel didn't go into the promised land. God made them wander in the desert for 40 years. The Holy Spirit is using the first person, saying that he is God. John 15, verse 26. When the counselor comes, the one I will send to you, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. This verse separates all three. You have Jesus speaking and telling us that the counselor is coming, and he's coming from the Father, and he's the Spirit of truth. So again, we see that they're all God, but they're three separate entities. John 6:38 says, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." In Matthew 3:13-17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. But John tried to stop him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and yet you come to me." Jesus answered him, "Allow it for now, because this is the way for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then John allowed him to be baptized. When Jesus was baptized, he went up immediately from the water. The heavens suddenly opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming down on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." We can see all the parts of God in different forms at the same time. God the Father is speaking, while the Holy Spirit is descending upon Jesus like a dove. We can see all the parts of the Trinity all at one time. So those who don't believe that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit can be present at the same time, we can show them this verse. Here's that diagram again. We're going to be looking at a few other things. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are eternal. They are present before the beginning of the world. 1 Corinthians 8:6. "Yet for us there is one God, the Father. All things are from him, and we exist for him. And there is one Lord, Jesus Christ. God created everything that we know and we see." But did you catch what that verse said? There is one Lord, Jesus Christ. And that Lord is capitalized because it is replacing Yahweh, the name of God, showing us that Jesus is God and that he is eternal like God is. Earlier when I used this verse stating his name, "I am who I am," God is telling us that he was, he is, and will always be forever. Just by saying his name, God is showing us that he is eternal. So we have both the Father and Jesus are eternal. And here are some more scriptures showing that Jesus is eternal as well. John 1, 1 to 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through Him, and apart from Him, not one thing was created that has been created. John 1, 10 to 15. He was in the world, and the world was created through Him, and yet the world did not recognize Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, He gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of natural descent or of the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus. We observed His glory, the glory of the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning Him and exclaimed, "This is the one of whom I said, 'The one coming after me ranks ahead of me because he existed before me.'" This passage shows us that Jesus was the Word. He is the Word. And He was the Word from the very beginning, and that through Him everything was created. It again shows that He is eternal. And Jesus came to show us the Father. And we can see that Jesus and the Father are both eternal. But what about the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit eternal? Genesis 1:2, the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the waters. The Holy Spirit was there from the beginning. He was there before everything was created. He was there. He's eternal. And then again, it uses that capital word Lord, where they replaced Yahweh. Again, showing that they're united together. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were from the beginning. And looking at each part of the Trinity, we can see each one is God, yet they're still separate. The Father is not the Son or the Spirit, and the Spirit is not the Son or the Father, and the Son is not the Father or the Spirit. That's what makes my head go around in circles, thinking about that and putting that all together. Yet they're all God. It can be difficult to explain to somebody. In our finite minds, it can be difficult to understand heavenly things. It's not easy. Just like Jesus being 100% God and 100% man, that's 200%. How does that work? But if we go to God, here's a bunch of scripture verses that show that God is eternal, that God is God, and that God is, and the Holy Spirit and the Jesus are one. If we go to God and ask Him for understanding, ask Him for wisdom, and then dig into His Word and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal things through God's Word, because the Holy Spirit lives in each believer in Jesus, and we can know that God is God. So we need to press into God, press into Scripture to understand complex things. And it's a continual process. Each time we dig in and we seek, God will reveal more and more of His truth to us. Remember that we are called to share the gospel message. We must be ready to give an account when someone asks us about our faith and our hope in Jesus. So dig into God's Word. Rely on the Holy Spirit that is in us, so you can share that message to somebody. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, You are complex, yet personal, and You want a relationship with us. Open our minds to understand You more. Open our hearts to believe what you say is right and true. Help us each day to follow you, being led by your Spirit. I pray that you will give us understanding of your scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to invite the worship team forward to lead us in a closing song.
I'd invite you to join us in worshiping to end this time. You can stand if you wish to.
We have some announcements. You may be seated.
Good morning. All right. Couple of things I'd like to share. First off, thank you, Tony. I think we need constant reminders as to what we believe in, why we believe, and what makes us different from the rest of the world. but hopefully it encourages you to share the good news with those who need to hear. A couple of quick announcements here is our fall members meeting, as you may know, it's listed in your bulletin, is next Tuesday, November 21st. Each of you should have received a packet that gives you the agenda, the minutes of our last meeting, as well as the budget proposals. Please take the time to look through that. If you have any questions or comments beforehand, I encourage you to please share that with me. You can either send me a text or, better yet, send me an email. That is in our church directory. Also, we are looking at our offering schedule for next year, and I encourage you, if you have any organizations that we currently have not been giving to or not for a while, please share them with me. Please keep in mind, we are looking for those that are seeking to share the truth to those who need to hear it. Local organizations, faith-based organizations looking to help those in our community as well as abroad. And also, we have a few Brotherhood Fund needs. If you would be so led to give additional towards the Brotherhood Fund, please add them into your offering envelope or simply place in a separate envelope marked Brotherhood Fund. We would truly appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Good morning. Just a couple of announcements about Sunday school. For the women, the book from the following book, which will be starting November 26th, are in the overflow, so if you want to pick them up, you may do so. And also another one about Christmas Eve. We will be having Sunday school. It'll be a shortened Sunday school, Christmas Eve. So more details will come later. Thank you.
Thank you, Sheldon and Nate. I do have an announcement. Just want to call your attention to a note in your bulletin about the baskets in the overflow for cards for missionaries, for Zachary and Stevie and Peter and Christy. So I'd encourage you to look at the note in your bulletin about that. This is the last day to turn in your affirmation ballots. I'm going to collect them tomorrow morning, so you have the rest of the day to put your affirmation ballots in the box. So will you stand for this parting benediction? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God bless you. You're dismissed.